Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to invite you to open in your New Testament to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, where we'll take our study from primarily this morning. Talk about that passage. We'll look at some other verses along the way as well. And so we're going to talk about this morning one of the most recognizable statements that Jesus ever made. Here in Matthew 7 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Do to others what you want them to do to you." Translations vary a little bit. That's one translation of it. And this saying has come to be known as the Golden Rule. You won't find it referred to that way in the Bible, but that designation was given to this teaching at some point in the last 500 years or so, and it's kind of stuck. That's what we call it. In some ways, this is one of the simplest passages in the Bible. It is, of course, again, a very well-known statement of Jesus. And yet, in other ways, I suspect that there's a good bit more to what Jesus said here than many people realize. People sometimes can even quote it without recognizing everything that is inherent in what they're saying. And so, as with many of the well-known statements that are found in the Bible, I'm not sure that everyone who is familiar with this verse knows precisely what it means or how it fits into the overall teaching of the Bible. You know, as important as this teaching is, it's not the sum total of truth. I think some people make that mistake. There's more to it than that. There's more to serving the Lord than what is said here. But certainly we need to recognize that this teaching of Jesus is important, and we need to be committed to living our lives in keeping with what Jesus taught. If we're committed to being His disciples, we don't really have any other choice. And so I want us to spend some time this morning talking about the Golden Rule. And I want us to make sure that we understand what it is that Jesus taught here in this verse. And also that we take a little bit of time this morning to evaluate where we are in relation to what Jesus taught in this verse. That's important as well. And so as we begin this morning, I want to point out something that I suspect is obvious. And that is that people actually live their lives by many different rules. As you look out into the world, as you come into contact with people, that's something that is obvious. And of course, sadly, many people choose to live in a way that is at odds with the teaching of Jesus. It's the exact opposite of what He taught. They don't seem to take into consideration how their actions affect the lives of other people. And sometimes we may even come across those who don't even care how their actions affect other people's lives. You know, they're out there. We know that. They do things to other people that they wouldn't want other people to do to them. They operate on the principle of selfishness and that alone. And of course, the most extreme examples of this kind of thing are found in people who actually harm others in order to get what they want. You may have noticed as you've read through the scriptures that many of the commands are aimed at people who might be tempted to live their lives that way. And so when Jesus had the conversation in Mark chapter 10 with the guy that we typically call the rich young ruler, he summarized a number of these as he talked with him. And so he says in Mark 10 and verse 19, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud," he says. And obviously that's not an exhaustive list of the do nots or anything else like that, but you get the idea. There are people who don't have any problem violating any of these commands, and they don't really care who they hurt in the process. We know that. We see it. We read about it. We see it on the news and things like that. But before we let ourselves off the hook because we have no intention of doing these things that are talked about in Mark chapter 10 and verse 19, let me be quick to point out that we don't really have to be guilty of these extreme examples in order to be guilty of violating the same basic principle. Have you ever treated someone in a way that would be offensive to you if someone were to treat you that way? Just as an example, have you ever been rude to somebody? Don't raise your hands. We're not looking for that. We've all done that at some point. And we know we would all be offended if someone were to treat us that way. And that's the same basic problem. It's not taken to the same extreme. We get that. But when we act like that, we show that self is at the center. That really, you know, the world revolves around us. That's kind of the philosophy at that moment. And of course, we sometimes try to justify our behavior. And so we say things like, "Well, I'm just treating other people the way other people treat me." And I'll tell you, that may be true sometimes. And that's actually a second rule by which many people choose to live their lives. Do to other people as they do to you. And according to this rule, you don't set out to wrong people. You don't set out to do that. You just respond in kind to the way they treat you. And then there's no doubt in my mind that many people in our world have chosen to live on those terms. This probably is the rule by which most people in our society live. And you have to admit, it almost sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Except for the fact that the Bible explicitly condemns it. Amen. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul would put it this way. He would say, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." Amen. And so he tells us there, the conduct of other people, it really shouldn't be the determining factor in what our conduct toward them is going to be. If it is, really, we're just going to ascend or we're going to descend to the level of the people with whom we interact. But if we are to follow Jesus and be His disciples, we're not going to base our response on what we think the other person deserves. We're not going to base it on what we think they have deserved or anything along those lines. Jesus sets up a different standard. Now, I'll just go and tell you, I sometimes like to think that there is one exception to this prohibition against repaying evil for evil, and that is when I am driving behind the wheel of a car. It's not, but I like to think that way. Because if you want to find evil people, let me tell you where to find them. They are behind the wheels of cars and trucks all out there. I mean, they're everywhere. And the truth is, it's sometimes hard to deal with them. And so, at the beginning of this year, I made a resolution. And I'm just going to go ahead and confess up front. I'm going to tell you what it is. And I'm just going to go ahead and confess up front that I probably could have done a little better job of wording my resolution. But my resolution was this: let dumb people be dumb. And what I meant by that is I was not going to let the actions of other people dictate what I do. Amen. Now, as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 12 in a different context, it's not that I've already reached this goal or have already become perfect, but I keep pursuing it. You know, I haven't got it all figured out, but I'm working on that. Well, not long after making this resolution, I was driving down Nederland Avenue, and I was on my way up here to the building, and there was a truck ahead of me in the other lane, and as I was about to pass it, the driver kind of swerved over into my lane real quick and went back into his. And I did not honk the horn. I did not stare the person down as I drove by. I didn't even look over. I just passed on by, went on my way, and came up to the building. Now, a little bit later, I was talking with Stephen Savant. And he said to me, "You know that was me in the truck earlier, right?" I should have known that, but I didn't. You got to love them. It's commanded in the Bible. You literally have to. Repay no one evil for evil. A third rule by which some people live their lives is found in the instruction of many different religious teachers and philosophers. It's been pointed out that many times that you can find statements that are similar to what Jesus said here in the Golden Rule in the writings of, you know, people from different religions and different philosophies. And the difference is that many of them are stated negatively, whereas Jesus states it positively. I'm going to give you a few examples. A rabbi by the name of Hillel said before Jesus ever even came into the world, "What is hateful to yourself, do to no other. This is the whole law, and the rest is commentary." Or from the Hindu religion, "This is the sum of duty. Do nothing to others which, if done to you, would cause you pain." From the Buddhist religion, "Hurt not others with that which pains yourself." Confucius would say, "What you do not want others to do to you, do not do to others." Or from the Greek philosophers, "Do not do to others what angers you if done to you by others." And so there are a lot of statements that have been made through the years along those same lines. This put on the negative side of things. Don't do things that you wouldn't want people to do to you. And there's nothing wrong, of course, with the sentiment found in these statements. Basically, they all say, don't do anything to anyone that you wouldn't want anyone to do to you. That's a valid principle. It's an admirable thing. It's good. It doesn't go far enough, but up to the point it goes, it's fine. And it may seem like a small thing, but to switch from a negative statement, don't do things that would be displeasing to you, to a do what you would want other people to do to you, stating that in a positive form, there's a big difference between the two of those. It becomes exponentially more difficult. Because in its negative form, this command could be satisfied simply by doing nothing. You know, the positive form demands that we actually do something for the other person. Because it's one thing to say, I wouldn't want anyone to hit me with a hammer, and so I'm just not going to hit anybody with a hammer. That's great. Wonderful. I hope you don't. But it doesn't go far enough. That's another thing entirely to say, if someone hit me with a hammer or just harmed me in some way, I would really like for someone to be there for me, to help me. Isn't that basically the parable of the Good Samaritan? Isn't that what Jesus was talking about in that parable? Can you see that there's a big difference between refraining from doing something that is harmful to someone and actually doing something that is helpful? It takes a lot more effort. And so these other statements that we just read a moment ago, they fall short of what Jesus taught. But I'll just tell you that I don't think the statement that Jesus makes here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, I don't think it's entirely unique. And the impression has sometimes been given that, you know, this is something new that's never been heard before. And when before Jesus came along, nothing like this was ever said. I'm not really sure that's true. And one commentator put it this way. He said, this is something which had never been said before. It is new teaching and a new view of life and of life's obligations. And I have to admit that when I read that, it kind of made me wonder if he actually had read the words of Jesus. Because Jesus said, in everything do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Actually, it had been said before. Go back and read the Old Testament. All through it, this principle is stated. This is not something entirely new. If nowhere else it's found in the Old Testament, Jesus simply stated clearly and concisely what was already found in the law of Moses. But having said all of that, let me be clear about something. If we are to be his disciples, if we are to be disciples of Jesus Christ, then we will have to come to terms with what he said here in the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's true that if we're his disciples, we will not do to other people the things that we do not want them to do to us. Again, that is a valid principle. It is admirable to not do that. It is good to not do that. But if we are to truly be disciples of Jesus, then we'll not be able to measure our discipleship solely in terms of what we refrain from doing. We will have to measure it, at least in part, by what we actually do for other people. Do to others what you want them to do to you, Jesus said. Now, with the time we have remaining this morning, what I want us to talk about is the fact that this command of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 is really just a restatement of another command of Jesus. And that is the command for us to love our neighbors as we do ourselves. Isn't that true? Isn't that basically what he's saying there? It's what he was teaching. When Jesus was questioned in Matthew chapter 22 about which was the great commandment in the law of Moses, do you remember how he responded to that in Matthew chapter 22 beginning in verse 37? He would say in light of that question, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And then in verse 39, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then look at the way he ends it. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What's he saying? It's found back in those writings. Just like he said at the end of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. You see that how that corresponds with the passage that we're looking at. If you're doing to other people what you would want them to do to you, what are you doing? You are loving your neighbor as you do yourself. Those are comparable concepts. I think Jesus probably taught these principles at different points in his public ministry. He taught different people at different times and different places. But he would have certainly wanted to impress the same facts and the same truths upon their minds. And I want us to look at the context in which Jesus stated the golden rule in Luke's gospel. Look at Luke chapter 6 with me for just a moment. I think it'll help us to see that Jesus was ultimately talking about the demands of love, really. And so in Luke chapter 6, and beginning in verse 27, Jesus says there, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Verse 31, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. But then he continues again. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And so you see what I mean? Jesus is talking about the demands of love, and then he stops in verse 31 and says, do to others as you'd have them do to you. And then he picks up with the demands of love again. Why? Because that's what it means to do to others what you would have them do to you. Love them in the way you love yourself. Amen. He's talking specifically about enemies here, but the principle applies across the board, loving your neighbor. And one of the great things about the teaching of Jesus is that it doesn't require us to ask questions like, you know, who is my neighbor, or what does it mean for us to love them? You know, we might like a little more wiggle room than the Lord provides. The truth is, He doesn't really provide any wiggle room in that. Amen. He's very clear about what He expects from His disciples. And I mentioned the parable of the Good Samaritan a little bit earlier from Luke chapter 10. It's one of my favorite parables. It begins with an expert in the law of Moses asking Jesus in Luke 10 and verse 25, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, how do I get that? How do I get there? And to which Jesus responded in verse 26, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Tell me what the Bible says. And this expert in the law knew the answer. Verse 27, he responds and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. It gives the exact same answer on the whole that Jesus did back in Matthew chapter 22. He answers correctly, and Jesus tells him that. But when Jesus then told him to go and do these things, he wanted to pretend that he really didn't understand the scriptures that well after all. And so I want you to look at verse 29 beginning, Luke chapter 10, verse 29. After Jesus tells him to do these things, he says, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, I'd go do all this stuff, Jesus. I would totally love my neighbor as myself. I just can't really figure out who my neighbor is. Man, that's hard. And so Jesus said, yeah, it's about as hard as this story here. Verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And this expert in the law, this lawyer, responds, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. You know, the priest and the Levite didn't harm the guy. Didn't do anything. Except violate the principle we're talking about this morning. In essence, Jesus said that when you come across someone who is in need of someone to be neighborly, you found your neighbor. And what are you supposed to do with this person who is your neighbor when you find them? You are supposed to love that person as you love yourself. And how do you go about doing that? Well, as it turns out, you do to them what you would like for them to do to you if you were in the same position they're in. That's not real complex, is it? I mean, you don't have to know Greek at all to see the principle there. You don't have to have a PhD in logic to figure this out. You just have to want to be a disciple of Jesus.
Amen.
At the beginning of the lesson, I pointed out that not everyone who is familiar with this verse that we're talking about knows precisely what it means or how it fits into the overall teaching of the Bible. Some people, it seems to me, would like to make it a standalone concept. They seem to think that treating others the way you would like to be treated is, you know, just all there is to know about being a Christian. And as I said at the beginning, it's not the sum total of all truth. As important as the golden rule is, there is more to being a Christian. And there's even more to applying this principle, I think, than many people realize. The fact that the golden rule is really just a restatement of the command to love our neighbors as we do ourselves, it seems to me, I think that can really help us see what I'm trying to say there. This command to love our neighbors as we do ourselves is clearly not a standalone command. If you go back to Matthew chapter 22, Jesus started with the greatest commandment. It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then there is a second command, he says, which is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's not just one. And I want to suggest to you this morning that you can't really have one of these commands without having the other. But if you try to separate one of these from the other, let me tell you what's going to happen in all of that. You are going to distort the teaching of Jesus. And so you can't really love God without loving your neighbor. That's not even possible. The Apostle John was talking about a slightly different subject here. He's talking about really our love for one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's going to be a principle that applies when he says in 1 John 4 and verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar.
Amen.
For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You can't really love God if you don't follow that second side of things. You have to love other people. Now, again, that's a little bit different from what we're talking about, but the same principle. You can't love God without loving your neighbor. But I also want to suggest to you that you really can't love your neighbor without first loving God either. You know, just in case you think I made that point up, let me just show you where I got that. A little bit later in 1 John chapter 5. Again, John's talking primarily about our brothers and sisters in Christ. But he says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Again, John was addressing our love for our brothers in Christ, but the principle applies all the same. How do you know that you love your neighbor? How do you know that? Well, you know it when you love God, when you obey his commands, when you deal with your neighbor in keeping with the principles that God has revealed in his word. That's how you know you love your neighbor. And I'll tell you, that's why when many people in our world today talk about the need for us to just love one another, it doesn't really come out looking like anything that we see in the scriptures. Although they wouldn't necessarily put it this way, many people's lives basically are lived in this way. I want to ignore God's will and do things that will completely destroy my life. And I'm going to support other people in their efforts to do the same thing. I'm going to treat other people the way that I want to be treated. Love wins. Except that's not really true. Because that's not love. Not really. Not biblically. You see, love is not about giving people what they want. It's about giving people what is best. And when Jesus gave this command, what he was assuming is that people really wanted to be servants of God and right with him, and that they also truly want what's in their own best interest, to be right with him. So there are no real loopholes in what Jesus said. It helps us get around the commands of God. You know, I think sometimes people look at this, treat other people the way that you want them to treat you, and so I think some people would deal with that. Well, what I really want is for everybody to leave me alone. So I'm just going to leave everybody else alone. Ta-da, I'm obeying the golden rule. Well, no, not really.
Amen.
Not really. Sorry, introverts, it doesn't work that way. Not a valid application of the words Jesus spoke. It's not giving us permission to withdraw into a world where we just don't offend anyone, but neither do we accomplish any positive good either. That's not what Jesus is talking about.
Right.
And if we are thinking right, we want other people to deal with us in keeping with the principles that God has revealed in His Word. And we will be committed to dealing with them in keeping with those same principles as well. That's what Jesus was saying. Now, Jesus never said that living this way would be easy. He didn't say, you know what, it's no problem at all. You won't find it challenging ever. But what He did say, it's the right way to do things. And so as we bring things to a close this morning, I want to just ask you a couple of questions. First is, how are you doing? You know, what rule do you live your life by? That's the great question that we need to ask. We need to evaluate ourselves and see how we're doing. We need to make the changes if there are changes that need to be made. James would say in James chapter 2 and verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. And so I hope you're doing well this morning. Hope you're living your life in keeping with the things that we've talked about. You're doing to others what you want them to do to you. And if not, why not make the changes that are necessary? Why not bring your life into conformity with the will of God, with the teaching of Jesus? You know, that's recommended. Because the reality is we're all going to stand before Him on the judgment day.
Amen.
And we want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
The truth is we can't hear them without putting this into practice.
Amen.
We may have some this morning who are not Christians, and if that is the case with you this morning, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you recognize sin is not His will for you, that He doesn't want us to live that kind of lifestyle. And repent of those things you've done that are wrong. Turn from them. And confess the name of Jesus. Come this morning and be baptized into Christ and become a child of God. We have your sins washed away. Where really you're giving a brand new existence. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, Paul would say. If you have already done all that, you've obeyed the gospel, but maybe you haven't been living in keeping with the will of the one you recognize as your master. Make the changes. Whether it's with regard to the things we've been talking about this morning or some other aspect of His will, if you know those things that you need to change, make that change. And if we can help you this morning in doing that, we want to do it. That's why we come together. As Randy talked about this morning, we are family. We're not perfect, but we are family. And we want to help one another. And so please come as we stand and as we sing.
Soul of Savior.